Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. State lawmakers are expected to resume deliberations today after 2 days of voting and arguing about Governor Jerry Brown's plan to erase a budget deficit of more than $26 billion. The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers has been following the budget debate blow by blow. He joins us now with more. John, where do things stand now?
Well, Rachel, as of this morning, the legislature has signed off on about $14 billion worth of budget solutions. That's pretty much in line with what Governor Brown had proposed. Most of it is less spending, $1 billion out of colleges and universities, billions more in everything from welfare assistance to medical care for the poor to state parks and beyond. Now, the $14 billion also includes some cash management transfers of money inside the state budget. Some of that was done with bipartisan votes over the last couple of days, but a lot of the plan really was approved solely by Democrats, who can now pass a budget mostly on their own after last fall's Proposition 25. But the Democrats, time and again over the last 2 days, really voiced their frustration about Republicans not working with them. Here's an example. State Senator Gloria Negrete McLeod, a Democrat from L.A.
There were so many cuts that it pained me that we would have to make. But I think I have to ask my colleagues, if we gave you A, B, C, D, E, F, G, would you then vote for the budget?
Now, the governor's budget included some pretty ambitious changes in government operations, including a massive shift of a number of programs from state to local control. Are lawmakers agreeing to that element of Brown's plan?
For the most part, yeah. That transfer of social services and criminal justice programs, which we call realignment, was debated a lot on Thursday. And it really was the focus of the most testy moments, I would say, of these last couple of days of budget debates. Now, as I said, part of the proposal is criminal justice. Specifically, it would move some inmates designated as lower-level offenders from state prisons to local jails. But Republicans lashed out at that plan, calling it a threat to public safety. Here's how one Republican, State Senator Sharon Runner, described it.
If AB 109 passes, tell your constituents to get a dog, buy a gun, and install an alarm system. The state of California will no longer protect you. I've done 2 out of 3, so I guess I need to get a dog.
The state-local realignment, like a few other big things, will ultimately take votes from both Democrats and Republicans, and it hasn't all come up for discussion yet.
Let's talk about Governor Brown's efforts to woo Republicans. It sounds like he's still got a lot of work left to do.
I think he does. You know, Jerry Brown has done more personal lobbying and arm twisting in the last few weeks than any governor I've seen in the decade that I've been covering the state capitol. He has wooed, he's debated, he's flattered, he's criticized. Now, he did make some progress this week. He got all the Democrats, for instance, united behind his plan. That wasn't easy. But the Republicans do remain elusive. They want a lot of side deals before they will consider a special statewide ballot measure on taxes, really a centerpiece of the governor's budget. They want less spending on pensions, but they have been refusing to vote for some of the program cuts that have come up. And here's how the governor described the situation Thursday morning.
They may have come up with a magic answer that you don't need to cut, which some of them obviously believe because they wouldn't vote for cuts, and you don't need to tax.
Now, as you mentioned, Brown's plan depends in part on voters approving a number of tax extensions. But first, lawmakers would need to authorize an election. Isn't time growing short to make that decision?
Yeah, it really is, Rachel. It's $11 billion in tax extensions. Now, the governor wanted a statewide special election on June 7th. I think he still wants that, but he really is running dangerously close, I think, to local elections officials telling him they can't pull it off that fast. Now, some people here have said, well, you know, you can push the election back June 14th or later. But the reality is a later election means if voters should say no, which really is a possibility, it wouldn't leave a lot of time up here at the Capitol to craft a plan B in time for the July 1st new fiscal year. So really, things are coming down to the crunch time.
John, thank you for talking with us this morning.
You're welcome.
John Myers is blogging and tweeting throughout the budget process. Look for the link to Capitol Notes at our website, californiareport.org. Predictive modeling of the radioactive plume coming from Japanese reactors suggests the first isotopes might touch down in Southern California today. A wide variety of scientists doubt the radiation levels will be high enough to be harmful unless there's a nuclear meltdown in Japan. But if there are any elevated levels, 12 monitors stationed across the state, ranging from Eureka to Anaheim, will catch the change. Mike Bandrowski manages the U.S. EPA's radiation program in Region 9, which includes California.
The monitor collects air samples and then any particulate matter on a filter, and we have a radiation monitor in the device that measures in real time the radiation that would be collected on the filter, provides the radiation to a satellite, and then downlinks it to our national lab. And in addition, we collect those filters twice a week and analyze them in our national radiation laboratory.
Bandrowski does not expect to see elevated levels today, but he says the EPA has added more monitors in Alaska, Hawaii, and Guam, just in case. The EPA also regularly monitors drinking water, milk, and precipitation. Doctors and nuclear experts quoted in a number of news stories believe that radiation in the plume will largely dissipate as it travels east, and that the heaviest material, the material we would be most worried about, is likely to drop long before it reaches the U.S. The Japanese American Cultural and Community Center held a memorial and fundraiser in downtown L.A.'s Little Tokyo last night. Several hundred people attended the event, which included an interfaith ceremony and speeches, including one by Japanese Consul General Junichi Ihara.
We are not alone. There are people who care about us. This is an encouraging message. And I'm convinced that with the unity of Japanese people, with strong support from all over the world, we can overcome.
The crowd lit incense and candles, and many offered donations to representatives of Japanese community organizations. More than 40 co-sponsored the evening. And that's the California Report for Friday, March 18th, the production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Danny Bringer, Seal Muller, and Howard Gelman. Our directors are Tom Gorman and Molly Samuel. Our interns are Lillian Manjo and Alexandra Wexler. The editor this week is Dan Brecky. The senior online editor is Gabriel Cohn. The producer is Victoria Malione. The senior producer is Ingrid Becker. The executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, celebrating the 2011 recipients of the James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards. More information is available at www.irvine.org. Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of content security appliances and hosted security services, protecting more than 100,000 organizations worldwide. Reclaim your network, barracuda.com.